Well, good to see y'all tonight. We had, was it stewardship for Sunday school? Sunday school was on stewardship, was that correct? Yes. Stewardship for Sunday school, and then Pastor preached on parenting in church. It's amazing we got anybody back. Amen? It's amazing we got anybody back. Boy, the meddling was going on today, I can imagine, right? So, just trying to be faithful to the truth, but sometimes it just lines up that way. Amen? I do want to praise the Lord for the incredible rain we have had. I was telling my kids and my wife this afternoon, this is a wet summer we're having. Praise the Lord. I remember summers back, Mamacita would be driving off to work. I'd be out there with my coffee and the water hose trying to keep that grass alive. You know, water before the sun comes out. Get the water on before the sun comes out, right? Know that drill? Yeah, dragging that hose around and watering this and watering that. Praise the Lord, I haven't had to do any of that. Just keeping the potted plants alive. Put a little water in there and praise the Lord for the rain. Any other praises or testimonies tonight? Praises or testimonies? Anybody? God is good all the time. God is, yeah, that's right. Brother Ron, what you got, man?
I'd like to say, I come up with this week's sign.
Yeah.
Me and Hannah were driving around, and she was talking, and she says, you ever hear, she says, Tony Evans was talking about the block and how it gets the guy, and it finally covers him all up.
Oh, yeah.
And it's basically how sin takes over your life.
Right.
And she says, and she's telling me about, then in that message, it's talking about sowing what you reap.
Yeah.
And then somewhere else, she's driving by and she sees the sign that says, basically what I have up there, change what you're sowing to change what you're reaping. And I said, and I looked and I said, well, that's the message I got on the sign this week. And I said, so what is God trying to tell you? He tells you two or three times,
oh, my soul, yeah.
Right.
And he uses anything and everything to communicate to us, doesn't he?
Right.
Yeah, he uses his word. He uses other Christians. He uses circumstance. He uses signs. All kinds of things to communicate his truth to us. Don't make me come down there, amen. Yeah, but we got to be real thankful for Ron. I mean, he's been, I don't know how long, Ron, you've been doing the messages on the sign, but they've been very good. Each and every week, it's been a good sign. Been a good sign, and we're thankful for you in doing that. That's a lot to keep up with. And
don't
think we're not watching. We're watching. It looks good, brother. Thank you for that. Amen. Any other praises or testimonies? Anything? Yes, ma'am. Yes. Uh-huh.
And we had got a message for the week that somebody in another unit was doing the same thing he was, that, you know, when there was an accident, he died. And so that, of course, scared all of us.
Oh, yeah.
But we couldn't talk about that anyway. The Lord brought him home safe.
Great.
He's back in North Carolina, based, and he's coming home on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So I thank you for that.
Amen. Amen. All right. Anything else? Anything else?
Terry, and she got 100%.
That's right. She's in with Samaritan's Purse, man. That's a big deal.
They're sending her all the paperwork and everything to get filled out. And so once she gets that return, she'll just be waiting on her notice of her first deployment.
Now, let me ask you this. Will she be able to go with Micah Tomlinson anymore, or is that kind of...
She can, as long as the dates don't conflict.
Okay. All right. Very good. And she'll be able to, will she be able to get off work down here at the hospital?
Well, she's already talked to them, and what she'll do is go with what they call PRN, basically as needed.
As needed, okay.
And the girl that sets up the schedules already told her, so let me know. As long as you give me enough advance leeway, she said, I'll just take you off the schedule during that time.
Wow. That's great. Amen, man. Amen. God's working, isn't he?
Amen.
He's active in our lives and wants to use us, and that's good. Anything else before we get going? All right, well, let's get her going then. We're in Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. I invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God. We'll read through verse 12 just to kind of set the context, but we won't get through near the majority of this tonight. About through verse 2 is about where we're going to land. But let's read it together. Revelation chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. Have you found it? All right, it's pretty easy. It's at the back of the book. You just go to the concordance and go left, right? Amen. Revelation 9, beginning in verse 1, the Word of God reads, "Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven which had fallen to the earth. And the key of the bottomless pit was given to him. He opened the bottomless pit, and smoke went up out of the pit, like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke came locusts upon the earth, and power was given them, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were told not to hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only the men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not permitted to kill anyone, but to torment for 5 months, and their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. And in those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, and death flees from them. The appearance of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle, and on their heads appeared to be crowns like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like the hair of women, and their teeth were like the teeth of lions. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots of many horses rushing to battle. They have tails like scorpions and stings, and in their tails, in their power to hurt men for 5 months. They have as king over them the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in the Greek he has the name Apollyon. The first woe is past. Behold, two woes are still coming after these things." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. Lord, we pray that you would, via your Holy Spirit, open our minds and hearts to it. And Lord, may you apply it to each and every one of us. Wash us as the church and equip us and hold us accountable, Lord, and help us, encourage us along the way. Father God, I just thank you that we can gather together on a Sunday night and just praise you, be in your word, pray, all of these things, testify to one another. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the privilege that we have here this evening. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Amen. All right. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. The seventh seal. This is our third installment. And as we begin this tonight, there can be little doubt that the book of Revelation contains some of the most frightening images in the entire Bible. This passage may be the most frightening of them all that we begin tonight. Now, we're in the midst of the seven trumpet judgments. The first four trumpets have been sounded. And you'll remember, they have brought forth a horrible scenes of death and destruction on this planet. The earth's environment has been shattered, and mankind is literally writhing under the awful judgments of a holy God. Chapter 8 closes with an angel flying through heaven pronouncing three woes upon the inhabitants of the earth. The angel knows that the plagues unleashed by the sounding of the last three trumpets will be far more horrible than anything we have witnessed thus far. And so we begin with a question. Why does the Lord give us, why do we have these graphic descriptions of what the world will face during the tribulation? Why write such tragedy, such death, such suffering? Why put that down in black and white? I think there are three very good reasons why these things are dealt with in the book of Revelation. We've mentioned them in passing messages in this series, but we've got them all three together tonight. Number one, these things are mentioned so the church will know what we've been saved from. That's why we have this. How exciting to know that God will rapture his church and will deliver his people from this kind of judgment. Amen? Number two, he extends this glimpse of the future as a warning to those who have not trusted Jesus as their Savior. He wants them to know what they will face if they continue on in their sin and in their rejection. And number three, these things that we have here before us tonight, these things that we've covered in previous Bible studies, they are given so that those of us who know the truth might be motivated to share the gospel with those that are lost. So as we consider the judgment associated with the fifth trumpet, we're going to see some of the awful realities that are presented in these verses. When you study this fifth trumpet, an almost hell on earth is revealed to us. I mean, it's bad. We're living in a day when the subject of hell, when we talk about it in Bible study or perhaps talk about it at the office or talk about it at lunch or it comes up, the subject of hell is viewed with much skepticism in the world we're living in. People just don't believe in a literal place of torment. In fact, many preachers and church members reject the notion of hell as hell's preached in the Bible. I think somewhere I read or studied that Jesus spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. Right? It's a tough subject, isn't it? People joke about hell. They use hell as a byword in everyday language. But the fact is, hell is a real place. Real people are going to endure real torments for a real eternity in a real place called hell. They can attempt to deny this place as they wish, but that don't make it so. Hell is still real. So in these verses, hell is literally thrust upon this earth. I want to share with you a few things about these. Well, it more deals with verse 1, but we're going to touch verse 2 a little bit tonight. The first thing I want you to see is a horrible personality. A horrible personality. What do you mean by that? Well, look at chapter 9, verse 1. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven. A star. A horrible personality. This individual is an infamous personality. What do you mean by infamous? Well, he's famous, but not in a positive way. Infamous personality. You key on the word star there, underline it, make a note, right? Some commentators attempt to spiritualize this passage, and they attempt to link this being with the star of Revelation 8, 10 through 11. Look up just a little bit before where we're at tonight. It says, the third angel sounded, chapter 8, verse 10, the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of the waters. The name of the star is called Wormwood, and a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the waters because they were made bitter. Well, some commentators try to say, well, that's just another asteroid. That's just another comet coming down. That's a literal person we're talking about now in this passage. When we think of stars, we often think of celebrities. Or those who are famous in this world. But there are those that are infamous as well. Give me one. In history, give me one. Exactly right. What else? Somebody said Hitler. Somebody said something else. Stalin. There you go. Yeah. Mussolini. I mean, we think back to World War II era, don't we? Saddam Hussein. Osama. Thank you. Right? Yeah. Infamous. Right? There's a sense in which this person is infamous. In fact, he is known in three worlds. He's known in three worlds. He's known in heaven, he's known on the earth, and he is known under the earth. Well, Pastor, who or what are you talking about? Of course, I'm talking about the devil. I'm talking about Satan himself. The devil has a name, doesn't he? His name is Lucifer. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 gives us that name. The name Lucifer means brilliant star. Brilliant star. It means light bearer. It means shining one. So we are introduced to Lucifer, an infamous personality. Not only is he an infamous personality, but he is a fallen personality. You see the word fallen there. Saw a star from heaven which had fallen to the earth. Fallen in the Greek is in the perfect tense. It's a perfect tense verb, meaning an action has taken place in the past and the results of the said action are still present. It's continuous action. Satan's fall took place sometime in the past, as Luke chapter 10, verse 18 tells us. And let me remind you tonight, Satan or Lucifer was a highly exalted archangel, but he was not content to be what the Lord had created him. Not at all. He wanted to be what? He wanted to be God. Isaiah chapter 14, 12 through 17 tells us that. Also, Ezekiel 28, 11 through 19 conveys that fact. Pride, with a capital P, was found in Lucifer, and he was cast out of heaven in terms of his position. In terms of his position. Fallen, he still has access to the presence of God. Well, what's he doing in the presence of God, Pastor? Well, he's accusing the brethren. That's what he's doing. Job chapter 1, verses 6 through 12. Job chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In fact, he is the prince of the power of the air, as Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 tells us. But there will come a day when Satan will be eternally cast down to the earth, Revelation 12, verse 10. And so here we see Satan cast out of heaven and forced to confine his activities to the earth. He can't go back in the presence of God anymore and do what? And accuse the saints. He's stuck down here. He's not in the air anymore. He's right down here. The thing that brought Satan down is the same thing that causes mankind his worst problems. I mentioned the little word. It's pride, isn't it? Pride will cause you to think that you're good enough without God. Anybody try to ever witness to somebody that thought that? That they were good enough without God? That they're just a pretty good person? They're just a pretty decent individual, pretty decent gal, pretty decent guy? And, you know, they think they're going to make it on their merits. They think they're going to make it on their honesty, on their integrity. They think they're going to make it on what they do. That's a pride issue, really, isn't it? Amen? That really is a pride issue. Pride will cause you to refuse to bow before your God. Pride will cause you to walk in your own self-righteousness. Pride will take you to a place called hell, a real literal place. Let me share with you these scriptures that we all know, but we need to be reminded of them when we get together and talk about pride. 1 Peter 5, 6. The Word of God says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time. Luke 14, 11, the Word of God says, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Proverbs 16, 18, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. He's an infamous personality. Secondly, tonight, we said he is a fallen personality. Thirdly, this evening, we're going to communicate to you that he is a fearsome personality. A fearsome personality. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven which had fallen to the earth, and the key of the bottomless pit was given to him. He's fearsome. This infamous fallen figure is given a key to the bottomless pit. He is given the authority to unlock a terrible prison and unleash a horrific plague upon the earth. We are told in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, that Jesus has the keys of death in Hades. We're talking about hell there. And for a short time, Satan is given this key. He's given the power over a host of demonic spirits imprisoned in a real hell. And while we're on the subject of the devil, allow me to make a few statements about him. First, Satan is a real personality. He exists in this universe, and His power is very real. He's not a myth. There is a very real devil. Number two, Satan has never been in hell. It drives me nuts when I see art and they've got him pictured in hell. He ain't there. He ain't there. He's not there today. He never wants to go there. He will be sent there one day, Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. When he goes, he will go as a victim. He will go as a prisoner. He will not go as a ruler, as I see him portrayed in all kinds of literature and art today. He hates the thought of hell, but he will be punished there throughout eternity. Number three, Satan is one of the great mysteries of the Bible. Why would God allow a being like him to have the power that he does? Satan does have power. He does have power. That is why we are told to beware of him and of what he's doing. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. He has more power than you or I have, but praise the Lord, God is far more powerful than Satan will ever be. And so when we think about spiritual warfare, 1 John 4, 4 has to be our battle cry. Has to be, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. But friend, you've got to live that verse. You've got to abide in Christ. You've got to be in His Word. You've got to seek Him in prayer. You've got to fellowship with Him, friend. You've got to have a relationship with Him for that truth to be applied to you, right? You get out here in left field or right field doing your own thing, thumbing your nose at God, saying, I'm going to do it my way. Look out. Look out. You are fodder for the demonic. Not only are we talking about a horrible personality tonight, but we're talking about a horrible place. A horrible place. We've already mentioned some about it. Verse 2, he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke went up out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. In this verse, verse 2, Satan takes the key he has been given, and he uses it to open the door to hell. This verse tells us just how close men are to hell. One turn of the key and hell is unleashed upon this earth. This verse has some things to say about that place called hell. Number one, it's a deep place. Hell is called a bottomless pit. The word bottomless gives us our word, the abyss, right? And refers to a very deep chasm. The word literally means a deep well. When Satan turns his key and opens the pit, he is literally opening the shaft that leads into hell itself. Now, science denies it. Okay. Lost men deny it. That's fine. Human reason denies it. Okay, but there is a place under this earth called hell. The souls of lost people suffer in the fires of this real place called hell. It is clear from the verses that follow in this chapter that certain demons are being held in hell, awaiting their liberty. Let's look a couple of those verses up that communicate that. The first one is in 2 Peter. I just want you to see it for yourself tonight, and I can read it to you, but let's look at it together. 2 Peter, I'll get there, 2 Peter. Not to be confused with 1 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Have you got it? The Word of God reads, "For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment." And then if you'll take and go to Jude. Hmm. You got Jude? Jude verse 6. And angels who did not keep their own domain but abandoned their proper abode, he has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. That's what we're talking about in this trumpet of the seventh seal, this fifth trumpet. That's basically what we're talking about. Angels who did not keep their own domain but abandoned their proper abode, he has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Make sense? Amen? All together on that, I hope. It's a horrible place. The Word of God tells us it's a deep place, a bottomless pit. But it's also a dark place. We are told that smoke ascends out of this pit, and the smoke is so great that it darkened the light of the sun. Now, you'll remember in the previous trumpets, the sun and the moon and the stars, they've already been darkened by a third. So now they're going to be darkened some more, right? There's an old saying that goes, where there's smoke, there's fire. The same's true in this case, wouldn't you think? Hell is a place of fire. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. Revelation chapter 14, verses 10 and 11. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. It's a place of darkness. It's a place of fire, yet it's a place of darkness. It's a bottomless pit. But what's the point? It's a place of anguish and torment. Matthew chapter 8, verse 12. It's a place that no one should ever want to go. Do you hear? Does that make sense? No one should ever want to go. No one should ever want to go. You hear jokes and you hear, oh, it's going to be a party one day when we're in hell, man. We're going to bust out the keg and smoke the dope and do anything and everything. No, you won't. You know, you won't. You're going to have people that end up in hell are going to have a sense that they're falling bottomless in a furnace that's consuming them. And it's dark. That doesn't sound appealing at all. At any level, does that sound appealing for somebody to want to be there or want to do that, right? No one should ever want to go. But it is a place no one has to go. No one has to go there. Men joke about hell. They try to pass it off as silly superstition, but hell is real. And wise people make their preparation to avoid its flames. Wise people. You may not believe it, but a good, gracious God will allow you, if you choose, to go to hell. He will allow that. My advice to you is that you should flee the wrath to come, and you should communicate to those that you love and know and care about that they need to flee from the wrath to come. Run to Jesus and be saved. Run to Jesus. Well, it's a deep place, talking about how horrible it is. It's a disturbing place. Thirdly, it's a demonic place. Or fourthly, it's a deep place, a dark place, disturbing place. Fourthly, it's a demonic place. Throughout the New Testament, hell is associated with demonic activity. Luke chapter 8, verse 31 teaches us the truth that demons fear being sent to the abyss. They fear it. Revelation 11:7 tells us the beast, the Antichrist, will ascend out of this place. As I've already mentioned, fallen angels are bound there, and Satan himself will spend eternity in hell. So, a horrible personality, a horrible place, and then we end tonight just introducing, if you will, a horrible plague. A horrible plague. That's the balance of verses 3 through 12. Let's look at verse 3, if I can get back there. Revelation chapter 9. Yes. And out of the smoke came locusts upon the earth, and power was given them as the scorpions of the earth have power. When the abyss is opened, A demonic plague spews out onto the earth. The demons that have been reserved unto judgment, as 2 Peter chapter 2, 4 says, are released. And they're released to carry out their infernal mission. Now, think about it for a moment with me. Has anybody ever visited a county jail? I've been to the county. not as a resident, but to visit. You seen the county jail? Anybody? Anybody seen a state penitentiary? State? I've been to state, all right? Never been to federal. Anybody been to federal? Okay. So you got city, you got county. Some cities don't have a city, they just send them to county. But most places got county, state, federal, right? A lot of folks in jail here in these United States of America, right? Some people certainly falsely accused shouldn't be there, but there's a lot of folks that should be there, right? I want you to imagine a world in which every prison door was suddenly opened. Murderers, rapists, serial killers, the criminally insane are all allowed to walk out free. Imagine that world for a moment. Can you imagine the chaos? Can you imagine the pain, the suffering that would occur? Well, the prison doors of earth will not be open, but hell's prison will be open, and it will be emptied, and a lost world will be thrown into a time of terrible judgment. The demonic horde are described as locusts, but these are not insects. These are not insects at all. Then, Pastor, why does the author of Revelation, the Apostle John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, why does he call them locusts if they're not insects? He calls them that. Scholars believe that this description probably comes from the greatness of their numbers. That's how many of them they're going to be. One locust swarm reported in 1889, it was May 21st, 1889, covered over 2,000 square miles. I believe it was from London all the way to the Red Sea. 2,000 square miles. The image here is of an innumerable host of demons being allowed to ascend out of hell onto the earth. Now, there are a couple of reasons why I say that these are not real locusts. Look at verse 4. They do not harm plant life. What does a locust normally do? It eats everything it plant, right? They don't harm plant life. But they torment who? They torment humans. Look at verse 11. It says, they have as king over them the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in the Greek, he has the name Apollyon. They have a king. We'll just look it up right quick. Proverbs. We were in Proverbs quite a bit today, weren't we? Pivoting off of Ephesians 6:4. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 27. You see it? Anybody got it? Everybody got it? 30:27, what does it say? The locusts have no, yet all of them go out in ranks. This horde is going to have a king, and he's going to be Lucifer himself. He's going to be the devil himself. Any questions? Questions? Yeah, I don't know. You know, the thing I was getting is the androgyny of the individual. So it's got a face like a man, hair like a woman. And, you know, when you think about where society's going, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to blend the sexes, right? We're trying to blur man and woman. So I noticed the androgyny of it, but then I noticed the teeth. The teeth like a lion, a devourer. So, horrible looking, right? So, and then my mind goes to this. Well, when they were cast out of heaven, they must have been changed. Because certainly they didn't look like that when they were in heaven with teeth like a lion, and you know. But the tail, the stuff, my mind goes to, is there some kind of a man-machine thing going on, a demonic machine thing going on, or is it all, you know? And I mean, your mind can just go, yeah, thinking about that. Yeah. But notice who they don't harm. Notice who they don't harm the 144,000, the ones that are sealed on their head for God. Because those guys are still preaching the what? Preaching the truth, preaching the gospel. Right. And so it's coming. Two big old trains coming down the track. We're about to have that cornfield meet, aren't we? And when he steps out, when Jesus steps out at that second coming, his word, that's what's amazing about your Bible. His word ends it. His spoken word ends it all. That's what's amazing to me. That's what gets the hairs on the back of my neck to stand up. And it lets me know how powerful God is, that he would allow the devil to do his own bidding. Well, here's the key. Torment. You know, have your day. 5 months. And then that's coming to an end. Right? So, you've heard the saying, God can take a crooked stick and knock a straight lick. Right? Yeah. I mean, God is sovereign ultimately. Yeah. And he uses whom and what he wants to use to accomplish his purposes. Right? You can either be on the team or you can be in the way. But either way, his truth, as we sang about, his truth goes marching on. Yeah. Amen. Any other questions tonight? All right. Well, thank y'all for your attention and attendance. Amen. And we continue on. Next time we'll flesh out more that fifth trumpet, and we'll get on down the road with it. Amen. Get to the second woe and the third woe, right? It'll be pretty woe by that time. Woe, 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 right? Three woes coming. All right, let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, that God, you give us this grand salvation, this great salvation. And Lord, we think about all of this, and it is equipping to us, and it is informative to us. And Lord, perhaps it is even motivational to us as we think about lost people around us that so desperately need to hear the gospel truth. But Lord, we rest in the fact that we're going to miss all of this. When this happens, we are either going to be with the dead in Christ that rise first, or are we going to be with the raptured church? Either way, we miss all of what we've talked about tonight. We have comfort in that, and we praise you for that. And Lord, we just rejoice in the fact of our salvation and your tender care that you have for us. And Lord, your protecting hand that is around us. And Lord, how you want the best for us. And Lord, we just love you and praise you tonight for that. Lord, help us be a witness and a testimony to those out there around us that we have started relationships with, that we have relationships with. Lord, we kind of know that they're lost. I pray we would explore that topic deeper so that we can discern and figure out if what we need to share with them. But Lord, I pray that we would share the gospel with people that we love, that we know, that we come in contact with before it is eternally too late. Lord, help us get out of our comfort zones. And Lord, sometimes when we get to a certain age, we have a certain group of people that we're around, and we go to a certain church, and Lord, we're just not exposed to lost people. But Father God, I pray that you would make a way for us to be around lost folks. Open doors of opportunity to share the gospel. Lord, may we be cognizant and pay attention. And Lord, just be ready when that opportunity presents itself. And Lord, I pray we'd be a witness with our attitude, we'd be a witness with our speech, we'd be a witness with everything about us, that we are blood-bought, heaven-bound, that we're Jesus-saved. He is our Savior and Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that we can sing to you tonight and pray to you tonight and worship you tonight as we study your word. I pray you give us safety as we depart this place. And Lord, may we just have a blessed coming week. May it be fresh, real, and invigorating as we live out this gospel message in front of those around us. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you all for being here.